Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us.
Amen. All right, you may have a seat and take your Bibles if you have them and turn to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John and chapter 2 as we make our way through this passage. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse number 24 and just read down to verse number 27. I'll give you just a second to get there. All right, 1 John 2, starting in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And we'll stop reading there. Of course, John, we've looked at this over the last few weeks. John has been helping these believers and us, as we read it, to abide in Christ. That's where he's been working to in this passage, to remain in Christ. And he's reminded us of the things that keep us from abiding in him. Does anyone remember any of the things that keep us from abiding in Christ? We looked at two specific things. Does anyone remember what they are in 1 John chapter 2? You didn't know you were having a test tonight. There's two main things in this passage that he speaks of that really keep us from abiding in Christ. Do you see any of them? Okay, so the distortion of the, are you looking at previous notes? Okay. So that's the second one, and that is false teachers, right? The false teachers try to pull us away, and we said beware of their deception. Be careful for these false teachers, these ones that come in and preach another gospel. They deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. So there's these false teachers that try to pull us away from the gospel. That's the second thing, but there was something just before there. You got one. You might have to go farther back in your notes. The love of the world. That's right. So that's the other thing. So love not the world. Did you even look at your notes for that? You're smart. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. So the world is constantly trying to pull us away from Christ. The world's system, the world's values. Remember the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. These values, systems of the world are trying to pull us away from abiding in him. So John is saying, be careful. Don't love the world. Be careful for these false teachers that come in and try to pull you away from abiding in Christ. Don't be deceived by them. Don't love the world. And then last week, John reminded us that though there are false teachers out there, we actually have the true teacher with us, right? That we have an unction. If you remember that word, unction means anointing from the Holy One, which is Jesus. And that unction is the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So we have the Spirit. So there's all these false teachers trying to persuade us that this is not true and pull us away from that and teaching a false gospel. But John says, you have the teacher with you, the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that reminds you of truth and guides you in truth and illumines the truth to you. He's the one. You don't need anybody else because you have the Holy Spirit. So you can remain in him and know the truth. He guards you from deception. Everything that you need, you already have in Christ. And so John is telling them to watch out for these ones. And then John is saying in our passage this evening, so now that we have all of those things, Don't let the world pull you away. Don't let false teachers pull you away. You know the truth. Now he says tonight, now just do it. Just abide in that truth. You know the truth. You have the Spirit's work. You have the anointing of the Spirit. You have the truth. He guides you in truth. So abide in it. Just do that. Abide in the truth. It's not enough just to know the truth. We have to actually abide in the truth. We have to apply it to our lives. We have to stand in it. We have to actually do that. So just a few really quick things tonight. How do we do that? How do we abide in the truth? Well, John's going to give us three things. First of all, he says this, stay rooted in the gospel. He says in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So he says, let that abide in you. Let it remain in you, what you heard from the beginning. Now let me ask you, what is it that they heard from the beginning? I saw some mouths making words, but I think they said the gospel. Okay, it's the gospel. That's right. It is the gospel. That's what they heard from the beginning. The disciples, the apostles came and they preached the gospel. That's what they heard. That's how they were saved. That's what they received in the beginning. And John is saying, let that gospel that you heard from the very beginning, let that remain in you. Let it abide in you. I think if you connect this thought that John's saying in verse 24 with the previous verses, he's saying that what you heard from the beginning is this. It's the gospel, but even more than that, it's the truth that Jesus is the Christ, right? Because that's what these false teachers were denying. He says, that's what you heard. You heard from the very beginning that Jesus was the Christ. This is the gospel. John is saying, listen, there's all these people that are trying to pull you away from the gospel. These false teachers have come in and they've distorted the truth and they've twisted the truth and they've changed and some of them were trying to pull them back into Judaism. Some of them were trying to pull them into this Gnosticism that John is combating in this book, this higher knowledge, this special revelation. And they were taking the gospel and twisting it. And John says, listen, what you need to do is go back to the gospel and be rooted in the gospel. Stay there. They had heard the gospel from the apostles that Jesus is the Christ, right? Jesus is the Son of God. That he came in the flesh. That he died for our sins and was buried and rose again. That eternal life is found in him and him alone. That's the gospel that they heard. But false teachers had crept in and distorted these truths. And John says, go back to the original gospel. Let that remain in you. Let it dwell in you. Let it stay in you. We don't need to upgrade the gospel. We don't need to change the gospel. We don't need to twist the gospel. He says, don't move away from the gospel. Let it remain in you. I think in our world, people are constantly trying to reshape the gospel so that it fits cultural trends or personal preferences. And they're trying to make the gospel more palatable to more people. And they're changing the gospel. And John is saying, listen, you must resist that. You have to be rooted in the gospel. Let the gospel remain in you. The truth doesn't need to be edited. The truth needs to be embraced. You need to let it remain in you and abide in it. Paul said similar in Galatians 1 and verse 8. I think I have it up here. You don't have to turn there. But he said this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. What does he say? Let him be accursed. We don't need another gospel. We don't need a different gospel. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is all that we need. So the call is clear. Stay rooted in what you heard from the very beginning, in the true, pure gospel of Christ. Hold fast to the tried and true word of God that was once delivered for all the saints. If we do, John says at the end of verse 24, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, so if the gospel abides in you and remains, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. John says, if you allow the gospel to remain in you, then you will remain. You will abide. You will continue in the sense of fellowship in the Son and in the Father. Only then can we rest in that promise of verse 25, which is, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So you let the gospel remain in you, and you'll remain in fellowship with him, and you'll enjoy this promise. Or you could really look at this passage from the flip side, that they're continuing to remain in the Son and in the Father is a true evidence of their salvation. That because they're saved, because they have this promise of eternal life, they remain in the Son and in the Father. That kind of person will continue to abide in the Son and in the Father. So the fact that they continue to abide, it does not save them, but it is proof, it is evidence that they are truly saved. So John says, stay rooted in the gospel. Go back to the gospel. Let it remain in you. Don't be pulled aside by all these teachers, by all of these different things. Stay rooted in the gospel. Secondly, he says this, trust the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And excuse me, and you need not that any man teach you. So he says this anointing, and we already looked at this anointing last week. This is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the one that guides us into all truth and teaches us. He says this anointing abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. What do you think John means when he says you don't need any man to teach you? Right. So does that mean, so if he's saying that you don't need anyone to teach you, the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you and illumine his word to you, does that mean we don't need pastors and teachers or anyone else? I don't think so. John's not saying that we don't need those other people. I think you could go to other passages like Ephesians chapter 4 where the gifts are mentioned that God gave to the church, pastors and teachers and evangelists and all these things for the work of the ministry, all of those different things. But I think what he's doing here is he's warning against these false teachers. Remember, he's combating this Gnosticism, this idea of higher truth, of special revelation, that they know something that nobody else does. They have this elevated knowledge that's kind of outside the gospel. And John is saying, you don't need that because you have everything you need in Christ. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that guides you in truth. Now, sometimes he uses teachers and pastors and evangelists and all of those things. But you have everything you need in Christ. You have the anointing, this Holy Spirit given to every believer at salvation. The Holy Spirit teaches us and convicts us and leads us into truth and keeps us anchored to Christ. Jesus said in John 6, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. You have the anointing of the Spirit. See, we don't need a new revelation from Jesus. We just need to trust the Spirit that's working in us with what we already have to reveal it. We don't need to chase every new doctrine or spiritual trend. We need to hold fast to what we already know in Christ. The truth is this, the Spirit will never lead you away from the gospel or the word. The Holy Spirit will never lead you away from truth. He will always lead you into truth. He'll illumine it to you. He'll teach it to you. So you need to trust the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, thirdly, he says you need to remain in Christ. He says that at the end of verse 27. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, in even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's the heart of John's message. This is what he's been getting to. He says this at the end of all of this, abide in him. So let me ask you this. What does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide in him? Okay. So to continue being obedient, to live in submission to him. Yep. Any other ideas? That word abide comes from the Greek word meno, and it literally means to live in, to dwell in, to stay, to continue in. The idea there is there's this constant, deep connection and fellowship with Jesus Christ that will absolutely lead to our obedience and submission to him in all things. Right? So we stay in him. We remain. We dwell there. We stay close. We stay connected. We stay dependent on him. And that's where John has been heading to. He says you need to abide in him. John uses this word over and over. This word abide. Not only here, but if you read his gospel too, he uses the same word over and over again. Abide in me, right? And I in you. In John 15, I believe it is. He says, without me, you can do nothing. And he talks about that idea of abiding in him. You know, the goal of the Christian life is not just to believe the right things. Now, that's vital. That's where it starts. But the goal of the Christian life is not just that belief. The goal is to take that belief and then live in a constant relationship with Jesus Christ. That abiding, intimate, obedient relationship with him. That's the goal. It's not just head knowledge. It's taking that head knowledge. See, John is really, he stresses in the first chapter and the beginning of chapter 2 that you know the truth. And he'll do that throughout. But really, the whole theme of John's book is not just to know the truth, but that we would live out that truth. It's not just a head knowledge. It's that living out that constant, close relationship with Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? It looks like staying in his word, walking in obedience, living in submission to him, relying on the Spirit, staying rooted in the gospel, fellowshipping with other believers. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it looks like. See, when you abide in Christ, you are protected from deception, from all these false teachers. When you abide in Christ, you're not loving the world and going after the things of the world. When you abide in Christ, you're bearing spiritual fruit. When you abide in Christ, you're living in confidence and peace. And that's what John wants. He says, I want you to have this confidence. And he'll go on, especially in 1 John 5, verse 13. He talks about knowing that you know and having this confidence and assurance. And we have that as we abide in Christ. So then maybe we'll finish this way. Just think this over for a second. If that's the goal, if the goal of our Christian life is to abide in Christ, then what are some things that might pull us away from that abiding relationship? What are some things that might keep us from abiding in Christ? What do you think? Okay, so our flesh and our desires, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that's what they were facing, the persecution that might cause them to turn away and not abide. Sure. Anything else?
You just learned that the world of flesh and devil, I mean, those are three things, right?
Yeah.
It's you know, the person you give for fasting, the flesh is your eternal enemy.
Yeah. That's why John says at the beginning, don't love the world, because those things will keep you from abiding in Christ, those false teachers. That's what he talked about first. I think practically there are some things that can keep us. I think busyness can keep us from abiding in Christ. We get so busy with our day-to-day things that we don't really spend that time in his word and speaking with him and in fellowship with other believers. I think there's all sorts of things that can distract us, that keep us from abiding in Christ. All sorts of things that we desire, maybe, and that might be part of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, those things that distract us. I think that doubts and discouragements can keep us from, there's all sorts of things that can keep us from abiding in Christ. And John is saying, listen, stay rooted in the gospel, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and abide in Jesus. Continue with him. Dwell with him, stay with him, stay, don't drift away from what you first believed. Hold to that. Trust the Spirit, let him guide you and confirm the truth. Let him lead you and then remain in Christ. Stay connected to the one who gives life. And so as we come to the end of that, and really verse 28 starts a new section going into verse chapter number 3, but as we come to the end of this, just think about abiding in Christ, really the goal of our Christian relationship. We need to ask ourselves, am I abiding in him? Do I have that abiding, continuing relationship? Am I abiding in what I heard from the beginning? Am I remaining in the gospel? Is that there? Am I listening to the Spirit and following his prompting and his leading? Or am I being pulled by the things of the world? Am I walking closely with Jesus and connected and abiding with him? Or have I fallen away from there? Have I wandered away? John says, take all these things. Think of these things. Resist the pull of the world. Resist these false teachers. Know what you have in the Spirit. Trust him and abide in Christ. And the challenge is that we would continue to abide in him.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of his word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.